hello, everybody, and welcome to a special edition of the Confused Breakfast Podcast. Normally, we choose a classic movie from the 80s, 90s, or early 2000s and dissect it with a modern eye to see if it still moves us the way it did as kids, but not today. On this episode, we're going to discuss multiple amazing movies. Instead of just one, we think you're going to love it, so sit back and enjoy today's episode, Top 5 Movies from 1999.
Well, damn dang it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another nostalgic journey to the past with The Confused Breakfast. Sit back, relax, and enjoy wherever you are in the world. Take it away, boys.
Well, we are pretty excited about today's episode, and I'll explain to you why we're doing this shortly. But first, it's time to introduce the team. My name is Mike Schulte. Joining me, as always, two dudes that are so young, it's very likely they didn't see any of these movies in 1999. Sean Pryor and AJ Vince, how the heck are you?
I remember seeing Bicentennial Man, and on the car ride back, I threw up because of it. It was like that scene with like all the body parts in the... You know what I'm talking
Putting
about.
Putting the hair in to the head and stuff.
And you're like, I love movies so much. Blah.
Yeah. Movies are no.
I'm sick for movies.
Yeah.
Fucking sick, though.
So here is what we are doing today. Top five lists. Ranking movies is such a cool way to talk about a lot of movies at once and provide some great conversations. We've done a number of these episodes now. We started off with top five summer movies. It was a hit. We followed that up with top five fall movies in October 21. Then we did top five rom-coms in February of 22. Mm-hmm. Top five movies from 1985 back in April. Top five movie soundtracks in July, followed by our last installment. Top five winter movies earlier this year. They've been fun, and I think we're going to add to it today. Before we dive in, don't forget your task for being a Confused Breakfast lover. Leave us a five-star review on your podcast platform of choice. Sign up for our Patreon to directly support the show. Get tons of amazing perks, voting on upcoming episodes, weekly bonus content, private Discord server, patreon.com/confusedbreakfast. And obviously, check us out on YouTube. Share. Get us on all the socials. All that stuff. Tell your friends. We love you so much.
Love you.
I dare you. I dare you to do it. You won't. Do it. Dare you.
We know you won't.
Do it right now. User.
Reverse psychology.
Yeah.
Smart man, yeah. Dude. Well, let's jump in, fellas. Our topic today is top five movies from 1999. First, I want to know, what were you doing in 1999? How old were you, Sean?
I was 8 or 9, and I was going to movies. Going down this list, I remember seeing a lot of them in theaters. Or like seeing a lot of the trailers for them. My friend Jordan and I would go see these a bunch in the theater, and we get front row seat.
The worst spot.
And that's not the case anymore, because I respect my movies now. I was doing that and biking and throwing sticks in the road all the time.
A lot of kids did that, man. It was a fun time. Once you were 10, you kind of stopped throwing sticks in the road.
But 8, 9,
woo, baby.
I smoked like a leaf through like a pipe one time, and my brother told me it was weed, and I freaked out at like 8 or 9 years old.
That explains a lot, Sean. AJ, what about you, man?
Well, I was also throwing sticks and smoking leaves. No, I was not.
Are you younger than Sean?
I'm older than Sean. Oh, slightly older.
That explains
than Sean.
A lot, Sean.
And
something happened over there, but that's fine. Is that the ghost?
It's a ghost.
The ghost is back.
We have ghosts in here.
A ghost. Oh, it's a basement. So, I don't know. Like, if I was going to a movie by myself, or like my brother and I, we rode our bikes into town. We were living in a small town. I was definitely riding a bike up. We'd go to the movie theater because it was $5. For the movie theater in Mount Pleasant,
nice.
The town I grew up in. So we were doing that. Otherwise, if it was like a family night, we're going and seeing movies as a family. We'd drive over. Sometimes we'd go to the big city. Next door to Burlington.
Ooh.
Where they showed movies that had just come out rather than your theater showing movies that had come out 5 years prior.
Guys, I just saw Police Academy.
Oh!
This new movie.
Did you guys go see Ghostbusters yet?
You guys seen that yet? Crazy.
Idiot.
I loved watching movies. I loved going to the theater and everything. But I don't think I was seeing a lot of movies like in the theater, or at least like remembering them vividly.
You know, I was 17 in 99. So I do recall this being one of the first years where I went to a lot of movies. Mm. It was like, what do? Me and my friends, we're going to go to a movie. We're going to mess around and, you know, like go to that movie. And here's the thing. 1999 is widely regarded as maybe one of the best years ever.
We
for
have to
movies.
Say it. It's jam packed
cinema.
You're going, you just type it. Normally if you say movies from 1984, like you'll start recognizing them, and then you get about 20, 30 movies down. And you start going, I never heard of that movie. Yep. This year you can just click page after page after page. Oh, I like that. I saw that movie. This movie is stacked.
Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate for all the movies that were released because there wasn't an increase in nominations for awards.
Very true.
They just had to deal with all this competition. So it's pretty rough.
Well, the rules of our top five list are that we cannot talk about any movies we have already talked about in a review episode. That is very important because there are four movies that we've already done
right.
that I think maybe would have made some of our lists. We've got The Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
We've got The Mummy.
Yeah.
Got American Pie. The first American Pie is an important movie. It maybe didn't hold up as much, but that was a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah, 100%.
And Boondock Saints would have probably been on my list for 1999 movies. So,
yeah, exactly.
So if you're at us, we can't talk about those movies. I know The Matrix is your number one. We can't talk about
it. Go listen to it. It's a great episode.
It deserves a full episode, not 2 seconds. So just grow up.
Yeah.
I think we got to talk about honorable mentions, boys.
Okay. Yeah, there's too many
so
movies.
Many.
We have to get these out of here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody got any?
Let's
I got
go.
A huge list.
Yeah, I'll do.
I got like three that I really felt like I wanted to jump out at.
I got Virus. That's a Jamie Lee Curtis movie. It's about they find this abandoned ship and it's like robot alien monsters.
Cool.
It's pretty bad, but it's fun. And it's kind of freaky. Some of the effects are
nice.
Superstar. It's a great movie.
Oh yeah.
House on Haunted Hill remake is actually pretty underrated and good.
Yeah, I agree.
Michael Mann's The Insider. Love me some Michael Mann. Summer of Sam is actually like one of my favorite movie premises of all time. It's about the Sam Berkowitz or David Berkowitz murders in the 70s in I think San Francisco, I believe. And it's just like it focuses on this group of friends who are come from different backgounds, and it's a Spike Lee Spike Lee joint. And I just like that premise of like a hangout movie, but there's also the threat of like maybe someone could just kill you at any time, which I guess, you know, it's pretty universal.
Jeez.
Lake Placid, I remember seeing in theaters. Okay. It was really
was
good.
That the crocodile one?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, with what's her name?
Crocodile
Betty
one,
White.
Yeah.
Betty White's in that.
Cool.
Yeah, that's right.
Payback with Mel Gibson.
Oh,
I love that movie. I remember
having
to, when it came out on VHS, I had to have someone at Walmart buy it for me, like an adult, because I wasn't of age yet. And so
you were
way.
Waiting out like a minor waiting for somebody to pick up beer for
exactly.
you. Like grab you a six pack.
I paid for the DVD, man.
It's like, I paid for the DVD, man.
8mm with Nick Cage. I think that's a Brian De Palma movie. Ravenous with, I think I mentioned in our winter movie episode. Love that movie. Existence. David Cronenberg. Audition. Deep Blue Sea. And Notting Hill.
Damn.
Don't sleep on Notting Hill.
Okay.
That is a great movie.
What about you, AJ?
Deep Blue Sea. That's a great one.
Yeah. I saw
that
in
Collins
Road Theaters at the... That's our second run movie theater here in town.
But back in the day, it was like the main movie theater, wasn't it?
I don't know.
I saw Independence Day there on Independence Day.
Oh, okay.
So it had to have been.
I just remember like Deep Blue Sea. I remember that. Lake Placid, Anaconda, all these like crazy monster.
Fuck, that was Anaconda 99 too.
I don't know if Anaconda was, but
that movie's
it was right
we
there.
We have to do that.
it was awful.
It was
awfully terrifying.
That could be a live show.
Yeah,
definitely be a live show.
Could be. Oh no. The Spy Who Shagged Me, Austin Powers.
You got to talk about that.
I mean, I think it held up just as good as the first one. The World Is Not Enough. Great Pierce Brosnan. James Bond movie. Wild Wild West, hello.
Yeah.
You know, great music and soundtrack.
Uh-huh. Wild Wild West.
The soundtrack slaps, bro.
It slaps, dog.
Why don't you just say it's cool?
I just did. Didn't you hear me?
Yeah. I also hate that phrase, but it was topical.
No.
See, the joke is that.
Oh.
Anyway, sorry, AJ.
Thanks, guys. 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
I can't wait. We will cover that one. I can't wait for that one.
I'm surprised it's not on any of our lists.
I know.
That's how stacked this year is.
It is. Let's see. I think one of the last ones was Entrapment. Okay. You guys ever see Entrapment?
Was that Dana Carvey?
No.
Oh, no. That was Trapped in Paradise. Sorry. That was Trapped in
Blue
Paradise.
Blue Streak?
Owen Wilson. Luke Wilson. No. Entrapment was Sean Connery, and then who was the girl in it? Very, very popular lady, Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Mm.
And they're like thieves. He's helping her to train to steal this like painting or something
I remember a scene in that movie with the lasers, and her ass.
Iconic.
Holy hell!
Both parts, yeah. Iconic. So yeah, Entrapment. That's probably another one that we saw that a bunch.
Here we go. I mean, there's two movies here that probably aren't that good that I have on my list just because I remember seeing them. I went in the theater, The Haunting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if that movie's good or not, but like, I liked it because I'm like, this is a cool movie. Wow. I'm in the theater. Stir of Echoes.
Fuck yes. Oh.
Is that good to see? It's like, I don't know if these are good or not because I've only seen them like once.
The horror.
Kevin Bacon.
The horror, just look at me.
Stir
of Echoes is good.
I cannot believe Varsity Blues is not on our list. I cannot believe Big Daddy is not on our list.
Yeah.
Cruel Intentions. And two.
Oh, man.
It's
yeah.
a big one.
Two gigantic movies that did not make any of our lists. Star Wars. The Phantom Menace.
The Phantom Menace.
And it has to be talked about because, like, Star Wars 1, The Phantom Menace, is one of the worst ever, but it started everything we have today, for better or worse.
Yeah.
The fact that they made that.
I was so excited for that movie. I mean, like, and I still think it's pretty good to this day, but I was so excited. I had, like, all of the books that came out, like all the sticker books shit like that. Yeah, I
you guys
it.
Collect the Pepsi cans?
Yes.
The Mountain Dew, that kind of stuff?
I can say in my lifetime.
I bet those
lifetime,
are worth something, right? No.
No.
They're not.
So. They're worth a lot of indigestion, that's for sure.
And the final movie that is not on any of our lists to show how stacked this year is, The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
Spoilers. Is not in our top 15 movies between the three of us.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Spoilers.
Hang on.
50 First Dates.
We can take this out if we need to, but is Galaxy Quest on here? Any of yours?
No.
Okay. So Galaxy Quest is also a great movie.
Hey, Craig, leave that in. All right. That was our honorable mentions. We are going to go one by one through our top five from 5 to 1. Who wants to start with number 5?
Ooh.
I do.
I'll
okay.
Go.
Okay.
No. Okay.
My number 5. Being John Malkovich.
Okay.
Now I can't.
Johnny Malkovich.
For life. Is this a popular movie? Have many people seen this? Do you
yeah,
think?
Yeah. Oh,
you
yeah.
think so? Because I remember, I guess, let's tell if you haven't seen it. It's what? John Cusack plays Craig, very unhappy in his life. He stumbles upon a portal that puts you into John Malkovich's head for a short amount of time. Craziness ensues. I remember seeing this movie and I didn't like it. I didn't know who John Malkovich was when I first saw it. But now that I've gotten older, I rewatched this like a week ago because I'm like, is that on my list or not? And I rewatched it and I realized the complexities of this movie and how the older you get, it shows you like the pain of being an adult and realizing you're not a success and like all these dreams you had and now you're just older, your hair's thinning. You're like unhappy with your life or your loved one or whatever. It's like this movie really deeply touches on that and how you want to be someone else. And just like learn to be comfortable in your own skin kind of a thing. It was 10 times better. Like every time I watch this movie, it gets better and better. And I just didn't know if that many people knew it, but listen to the main cast. John Cusack, Cameron Diaz, Catherine Keener, John Malkovich. Those are like, I'd call it more of an ensemble. Like that's kind of the main four, but basically a movie about the struggles of being happy in your own skin. I think it was important back then and now is even so much more important. It's almost like predictive of the future. Like that whatever that mindset is of not being happy who you are is 10 times compounded in modern day world. So I fucking love being John Malkovich, and I think you guys should go watch it if you haven't seen it.
I remember seeing it when it came out on DVD or VHS, and I was too little for it, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not to understand it at all, but I remember him going into John Malkovich's body and having sex with somebody, and I was like, whoa. Oh, man, this is cool.
It's only about 15 minutes. It's good enough. Yeah.
Tight, dude. Tight,
dude.
Boobs.
And Catherine Keener is, like, just so incredibly sexy in that movie.
Yeah.
It's odd. And Cameron Diaz, that's after, like, The Mask. Where she was like the hottest woman in the world, and they really they purposely bring her down into this homely kind of a, and she's probably the most likable character in that movie too, and she's like the homely lady, but yeah, it's an awesome movie. Go see it.
Sweet, yeah, I'll hit
that one out.
My number five is a little movie directed by Adam Rifkin called Detroit Rock City.
Hey,
I thought this was gonna be on AJ's.
Do you like Kiss?
Do you?
Do I? I asked you first.
You know, they're okay.
So you don't.
So you kiss and tell.
I mean, you know, like, what's up with the makeup? Like, just let's concentrate on the music. Yeah. You know?
Why is it going to be
the theatrics here?
I read something somewhere and it said that, like, they wanted to be the like 70s version of the Beatles. And I'm like, you nailed it in my mind.
Okay. Okay.
But this movie is about a different band called Mystery. Right. Yeah. Mystery. But it's the four friends in high school who are kind of like looked at as burnouts to their friends and pretty much their family as well. They leave school thinking that they have tickets to see Kiss in Detroit. And it's kind of their trials and tribulations of maybe not having the tickets, trying to get the tickets, trying to get in somehow. And it is on par with like Days of Confused for me, or or just I'm trying to think of another like outrageous buddy movie like this. But
Dumb and Dumber,
yeah, I like it better than Dumb and Dumber, to be honest. But
we gave Dumb and Dumber a very high rating.
I think this movie's fucking hilarious. I think it's the references in it are super great. The soundtrack is obviously amazing if you like Kiss and 70s music in general. Yeah, I love this one so much. I can watch it anytime.
Heck yeah.
Can't wait to cover it.
Detroit Rock City.
Detroit Rock City.
AJ, what about your number five, man?
My number five is a movie. I don't know. I don't think it was very popular. It's a movie called Chill Factor.
Oh.
Don't know it.
Have you guys ever heard of this?
Nope.
So the story goes of me seeing this for the first time is, as you know, I don't like spooky movies, okay? And my friend, I was staying the night over at his place. He's like, do you want to watch this movie, Chill Factor? And I was like, oh, it sounds like it's like a horror movie. He's like, no, it's not a horror movie. It's like, it's about this bomb, and these guys have to keep it cold and stuff. And I was like, I don't know, man. Are you sure it's not like scary? And I just kind of kept asking. And we watched it. It was actually, and I really enjoyed it. But maybe it was because it didn't turn out to be a spooky movie. But it's got Skeet Ulrich. It's got Cuba Gooding Jr. Who's like the bad guy? Peter Firth. And David Paymer, if you know David Paymer, you'd recognize him. He's one of those guys you'd recognize once you see his face. But basically what it is it's a bomb or a weapon of sorts that that David Paymer's character is working on. And the bomb has to stay cold. That's basically what it has to do. OK, you got to keep this bomb cold. Terrorists try to steal it.
Yeah.
They try to steal this bomb. Try not to give anything away. They try to steal this bomb. Okay. And it's the doctor just lives in this little small town now. And he ends up getting shot, but he saves the bomb from being stolen and drops it at the little store that Skeet Ulrich works at. And so now Skeet Ulrich has to take it to like a certain base, like a base. So they have to keep it away from these terrorists. So it's basically... And keep it cold at the same time.
And they live in Arizona desert.
It's like, it's not Arizona, but it's somewhere like northwest.
Okay.
Like southwest-ish, that it is warmer, right? So anyways, not only do they have to keep it out of the hands and keep it stable, they also have to keep it from getting warm above 50 degrees Fahrenheit. So ooh, that's what they have to
kinda
do.
Kind of like a Speed kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Speed, but they, and so it's pretty fun. It's a lot of fun. It's kind of quirky. It's kind of just like, okay, yeah, we get it. That's a fun pun right there. But it's a lot of fun. I would definitely recommend watching it. It's definitely on pace and on par with something like Speed.
I'm in.
Okay. In that pace.
I don't care. Right? Don't tell me no more. I'm in.
Stop. Don't say
I'm done,
more.
Guys.
You can tell the audience.
Number five.
I'm already in.
He's already moved on.
It's number five.
All right, we'll go to number four now. My number four is The Poor Man's Shawshank Redemption. Wish.com, Shawshank Redemption, The Green Mile.
The Green Mile.
Whoa.
Don't you think so? Is it the same director?
Same director.
It's sort of like, I feel like it would be easy to mix them up if you didn't really know, if you hadn't seen them.
Maybe it's
a prison movie.
I would say it's more like Shawshank Redemption Lost in New York. That's what I would probably classify
Alternate universe Shawshank Redemption, where turns out the guards are actually really nice.
Women in Cages is also a prison movie. Yeah. Doesn't mean it's a porn version of Shawshank Redemption.
Let me have my segment, okay? I fucking love The Green Mile. I watched this. Yeah. I was in college in early 2000 in my dorm room, and I had like an hour and a half for lunch. And my roommate had The Green Mile. I think it was double VHS tape, maybe. Because this is like three hours and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm like, let's see what this is all about. Eat my ramen. I immediately skipped the rest of my classes that day because I wanted to finish this movie. And like, this is, I feel like this is Tom Hanks at his peak. Like, I feel like, I mean, Tom Hanks has a very wide arc of being awesome, but like, this might be his best.
Yeah.
He was just so good. This is the number 27 rated movie on IMDb.
Of all time?
Of all time on IMDb. I think, I mean, you got a cast like Tom Hanks, Michael Clark Duncan, who they, I mean, I'm assuming they did a lot of camera tricks to make him look as giant as he was, but just such an incredible force on screen. David Morse, James Cromwell, Barry Pepper, Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell in this dude. He is insane.
Yeah.
This movie, I don't know. I haven't seen it in a long time, and it's that unfortunate thing of like, I hate to click play on a movie that I think we might do sometime.
Sure.
Because I don't want to like watch it until I'm ready to.
Yeah.
To be, so I haven't
same
seen,
thing.
Yeah, I haven't seen.
You mean
it
you're not itching to watch Chill Factor tonight?
Not well. I don't know if we're ever gonna do it.
I watched it again in preparation for this.
AJ knew we were excited about it,
but I know it's not gonna be something we. It might go on a Patreon list.
I'll be with John Malkovich. I was like, filler. We're probably not.
I'll be
do
honest.
That one.
I'll be honest. It's all I can think about. I don't know if I can get through this.
Sean's looking through me.
He's going. He's watching that on the plane. Yes. On vacation.
I'm in vacation mode, by the way. I'm sorry, Mike.
Green Mile. Got a shirt on. No, nothing really to say about Green Mile. If you haven't seen it, this is an emotional roller coaster of a movie. It is beautiful. Tom Hanks just killing it. I love that movie, Green Mile.
Who,
that's my favorite.
Who plays the husband of the wife that's like all ill in bed and everything?
Is that Cromwell?
Yes, you're right.
Because he's like the main person in charge.
I've never seen him do like a really emotionally charged role until this. And he's the reason to me I like spill out tears every time this movie comes on. But yeah, this movie's like such a... Frank Darabont does Stephen King so well because it's such a like, it's an adult story, but it's also very mystical and creepy at parts.
You don't realize it is mystical until you get to those parts. And you're like, but it's very believable. Mm-hmm. It's not like this. Oh, and then this happened. You know, it's like, no, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Cool. My number four is
Chill
a.
you guys are gonna love.
He's already watching.
You guys are gonna love.
Two,
he's
one.
Watching it right now. Oh, it's mine. Okay.
Oh wow. Oh, don't let it get above 50 degrees.
Oh, should have went up a degree. Okay. Anyways, my number three.
Oh, we went around a corner too fast.
My number four is a little known Martin Scorsese movie starring Nick Cage called Bringing Out the Dead. I'll say it again. Bringing Out the Dead.
Bring out your dad.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
I don't want to go on the cart.
You guys are my friends,
come
right?
back after a little bit. It'll be done.
I feel happy.
Okay,
guys.
Okay. Bringing Out the Dead, Nick Cage plays a paramedic, and it's just about really his, I think it's all in one night, his night of being a paramedic and like getting no sleep and kind of like hallucinating throughout this whole time as well. There's really no... like linear plot other than just watching this kind of a job that you like never really gets screen time, I guess, if you know what I mean. Like, you never like really know the ins and outs of being a paramedic, and especially like a third shift paramedic. But it's about Nick Cage as a paramedic. He's trying to like battle his like life decisions as well as save lives, pretty much, and the people that he encounters. Is, Craig's got chill factor.
Craig's put chill factor.
Heck yeah, baby. You're welcome.
God damn it! But Craig, well, we're never going to finish this episode.
It's a very very little known Martin Scorsese movie, and I think it deserves. By the way, the soundtrack is like all punk rock.
Really?
Like all like 70s, early or late 70s, early 80s punk rock. It's fucking phenomenal. I really like it. Check it out if you haven't seen it.
Is Ambulance a remake of this movie?
No, but that's fun.
Is that fun?
Ambulance is pretty fun.
I watched that getting a tattoo once, and I was just like, I don't know what I'm watching, but I'm watching it.
Well, I think we've said it before, but Michael Bay found out that drones are a thing. And he's exactly like, I need to shoot a movie right now.
He's like, oh my God.
There's people that can fly drones like a million miles an hour.
Right. Well, you can put cameras on those? We'll make a whole fucking movie about it.
I can do this.
Buy 1,000 of them. Go ahead, AJ. What's your number four, man?
My number four is Chill Factor 2. No.
They made a second one.
Oh, is that good? Turns out the bomb, they made another one.
There's a lot of bombs out there.
There's a lot of bombs, except it's
the bomb.
Chill Factor, the hot zone. This time we got to keep it hot.
Fuck.
No, for real, it is the movie.
I wish I was joking. is he serious? We don't know. Man on the Moon. My number four is Man on the Moon.
Okay.
Very simply put, I think it's an awesome Jim Carrey performance of basically the life and time of Andy Kaufman.
Mm-hmm.
And so Andy Kaufman was a comedian and actor. And, you know, he got started and started him on like Taxi.
I used to watch Taxi. It was hilarious.
And he had this very small role, kind of a one-liner Latka. Character. Latka.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing. And, some scenes really stick with me, when, like, especially when he's on stage and people are just kind of like berating him almost to, do the line. We want to hear you do the line.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. And one sticks with me where he goes in and he starts reading a book and people start laughing because he starts just reading through this book, and then he keeps going and people start laughing and then they stop laughing and then they're like, is this all it's going to be? And he basically reads the entire book and that's funny to him. That was the joke. So it's like him taking his comedy to the extreme, to the point that maybe he's the only one who finds it funny, but at least it's honest to him, you know, that kind of thing. So I love it. I love it so much. I think he did a very good job of doing this performance, Jim Carrey being Andy Kaufman. And what's his character? Tony. I can't think of the name of it. I'll have to.
I got you.
You got him? It's Tony something. I can't remember the name.
People are screaming at us.
I know. And I literally just had it in my head. But that's another thing that he just takes to the extreme, right. And he will not break character. And it's the way he hides away or something.
Yeah. Tony Clifton.
Tony Clifton. Thank you. And people debated if this was a real thing or not. But anyways, Man on the Moon, the life and times of and the career of Andy Kaufman, done by Jim Carrey. Go look it up.
Isn't there almost a documentary about Jim Carrey doing this role that just came out or something like that, I think?
Him taking it over. And that's, honestly, I think I saw the documentary or parts of the documentary first, and then I went and watched it.
Gotcha.
And that's what drove me into it. Because Jim Carrey doing Tony Clifton was on the same level. They were like, he's like, I'm not Jim, I'm Tony.
Right.
Like, he was playing it up really far.
He did the same thing with Andy. Like, people have seen the documentary know that, like, he thought he was possessed by Andy Kaufman's spirit. When just like, I'm not Jim. I am Andy.
Wow.
It's like, all right, man.
Yeah.
Do Dumb and Dumber.
There's a level. There's a level of professionalism. I get it. Okay. But let's be real. No, but I do like it. I think it's definitely worth it. That's my number four, Man on the Moon.
Well, let's go to number three. My number three is a little movie called Go.
Go.
Tell me you both have seen Go. It's okay. It's okay. We're in a safe space here. Because I don't know if we're ever going to get to it, because I think I put it on one of my votes, and I don't think it got very many votes.
Is this the one with the animated race cars?
Yes.
Okay.
Listen, I tell everyone out there, whoever asks, like, are you going to do this specific movie? We're going to do every movie ever made.
Oh, yeah, because we're going to do this till we're 72.
Till the bomb drops.
That's right. Like 50-something episodes a year. Like, we'll get through everything.
Yeah, so just so you know.
So, okay, well then, don't answer the question. Go is a movie, it's kind of a one crazy night story told by three different points of view. Fucking, we've talked about that so many times. We love those 24-hour movies, and especially when they're different perspectives going on and they're tying the story. It's kind of about the rave ecstasy culture of that era, but it's got more of a corporate glitz to it. Like, it's kind of making fun of how now the popular kids are doing that, and now the adults know what it is. I listen to this cast. Academy Award winner Sarah Polley.
All right.
Katie Holmes started my a love affair with Katie Holmes. I was so, so in love with her. And this was one of the first movies I ever saw her in. Jay Moore, Scott Wolf, Taye Diggs, William Fitcher, Timothy Oliphant as one of the badass, like, bad guys roles. He's so good at being a bad guy that you actually kind of like.
Girl Next Door is one like that.
Same role, basically. Oh, God. Same fucking role. I saw this my sophomore year, I believe. Someone gave me the VHS. I loved it. I absolutely love this movie, and I think hopefully we will do.
We will do this movie.
One crazy night. Go. Sean.
All right. I love it. I hope.
Sean, you of all people would love this
movie. Okay, cool. My number three is a I've probably told on the podcast before, either on a Patreon or something, but I watched this movie on VHS in my uncle's house. And my cousins were watching it, and there was nothing else to do, so I was just watching it, and I was terrified. It's The Blair Witch.
Oh, that was 99, man.
Yeah, The Blair Witch Project, actually. I watched this movie at my uncle's house, and my cousins were all into it. They were all girls and, like, all scared and everything, and me and my brother were staying there that night.
Hell yeah.
And we slept in the basement, and pitch black, and then nothing, can't see anything, especially everything's darker when you're a kid. I was scared out of my mind. I could not sleep. My brother was just passed the fuck out.
And great movie, huh, Sean? Well, yeah. See you later.
Well, that's it.
Good night. Turn in.
I need you.
I need you to be here for this.
I had to pee really, really, really bad. And there was a bathroom down in the basement, but I was too scared. The Blair Witch was going to get me. I was certain of it. And so I pissed my pants willingly. And I don't remember any aftermath. I don't remember any aftermath of what, like, the morning after.
You couldn't find a wide mouth Gatorade bottle or something? No, or
all those Mountain Dew cans?
I was not going to move an inch for anything, because if I moved, then I would alert the Blair Witch. I was certain of it. Man,
that was 2 years ago.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
But watching this movie nowadays, I think it's a actual... extremely effective, almost masterpiece level, in my opinion, especially the way that it was made. I hope we cover it one time, and we will get into the details of it then. But very, very bare bones guerrilla. It was made for like no more than 10,000, I think, something like that. But made a shit ton of money and kind of catapulted the
found footage.
Thank you. Found footage horror.
This
sub-genre.
Is the first one to really, really make a dent.
Well, and then it was the first one to like really do like a online marketing campaign where like people thought it was real, you know, like legitimately.
I did.
I thought it was real.
I still think it's real. I think.
Yeah.
We would use, so when I was in the Boy Scouts, we would, we'd have campouts, and then like everybody went through it. New scouts would get kind of scared by the older scouts.
Hazing, it's fine.
You take them. Yeah, it's fine. It's all
hazing's
in good faith.
Fine.
We're just scaring them out of wanting to be part of the Boy Scouts. It's fine. But
wait till they see what happens later.
You'd always call
summer.
It like, oh.
You know, Boy Scouts?
Boy Scouts.
That's fine.
Okay.
You guys didn't grow up where I grew up.
What the fuck is happening?
So,
We take them. You take them snipe hunting, is what you called it. But snipes aren't real. That's the inside joke. But we'd use like the like Blair Witch idea, like the little stick figure thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
We'd hang those in the trees, or like somebody would do something else that like one of the guys
would put rocks together.
Yeah, yeah. They're like go stand in a place like with their back to them and that kind of kind of crap and shine the flashlight on them. Whatever we could, but it was like the little hazing kind of thing, or I don't know. It's pretty sick and disgusting now that I think about it. I got both ends of it, I guess.
Yeah,
so,
well.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you give us your number three
then? To hazing.
To hazing, guys.
My number three is The Bone Collector.
Oh.
I know this is going to be a shocker for you guys. I don't like spooky movies. For some reason, The Bone Collector was, I don't know, like the first time I ended up seeing it, it's Angelina Jolie and Denzel Washington.
That's right.
And Denzel Washington is a paraplegic, like ex-detective, I believe, or consultant. And so now he is just a consultant, like for forensics and for police. And Angelina Jolie is basically hunting and trying to track down a serial killer, and you help with Denzel's help. So that's really the gist of it. For some reason, I think this is the movie that really got me into like mystery and like not knowing, or like the curveballs that get thrown to you in a movie, twists and turns. Because I was just naive enough to be like to not look for it, you know. And I think when you're in that state of mind, especially like as a kid, to not be trying to figure it out while you're watching, I can't do that with a movie anymore.
Yeah,
I don't know about you guys, but like even if I consciously try, then I'm already out of it again, right? So that's my big thing. Is like I watched the movie for the first time at a point where I was not actively trying to figure out who the killer was. I was fully immersed. And was just along for the ride wholeheartedly. And that's why. So if you've never seen The Bone Collector, sorry, I just told you that there's maybe some sort of twist. Now you're going to be looking for it. But go check out Bone Collector. I love that movie. It's a great one.
The title alone scared the shit out of me.
Absolutely. It scared me out of wanting to go watch it, but I think somebody put it on. And so I was watching it. Things like my older brothers, you know. Got me in on it.
After,
dang it.
After a game of Ghost Hazing. In the Graveyard.
Yeah. After playing on the Ouija board.
AJ came home from Boy Scout camp. We need to take him down a peg or two. He thought he was such an alpha.
Thought he was cool.
He thought he was an alpha. We got to take him down.
Take that idiot.
You think you knew a lot about beekeepers?
Yeah.
We're going to stand in the forest and creep you the shit out.
Now we're going to watch The Bone Collector, you bitch.
All right, number two. American Beauty.
All right.
There is a reason why this movie won 5 Oscars and is considered one of the best movies of all time. It won Best Picture over Green Mile and The Sixth Sense. That in itself, like both of those movies probably could have won had the other movies not been there.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
The chill factor was there too.
You didn't even know.
All right, I'm done.
Every time I watch this
icing
movie.
The competition.
I feel like
you fucking goddamn. I'm sorry.
No, I feel like every time I watch this movie, I relate more to a different character. So maybe not quite like Bert said with Caddyshack, where I'm a different character.
Yeah.
I feel more like like I relate more to what someone's going through. There's different emotions, you know, like when you're young, you're feeling like the Ricky Fitz and, mm-hmm. and Thora Birch's character, like just let them be young, let them do what they want to do. And then the older you get, you feel more like the adults, like having to go to work and having to go through this and their life didn't turn out the way it's supposed to be. I mean, it's funny. It's sad. It's insightful. As a real estate agent, Annette Bening's I Will Sell This House is mandatory watching for any real estate agent to see how sad the profession can be at times. It's a crime. I'm going to go on record. Annette Bening did not win Best Actress this year.
Was she nominated?
Yes.
Who else was nominated?
Hilary Swank won for Boys Don't Cry.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. progressive pick.
I just want to go on record and say Annette Bening should have won that. Kevin Spacey won the Oscar, 100% deserved it. Annette Bening, Thora Birch, Wes Bentley. Think about what Wes Bentley's gone on to do since then. Amina Suvari, Allison Janney, Chris Cooper, Scott Bakula is in it. This movie is a movie.
Peter Gallagher.
Yeah, if I ever want to just get kind of down in the dumps, but also have some fun laughs. Also, it rounds it off. I love this movie.
Maybe one cinematography too, I believe. It's a beautiful looking
movie.
It's
for the bag scene.
Yeah, the most beautiful thing.
The shot on VHS.
But come on, tell me that when you were young, you're like, oh my God, it so is. You're so right.
Why is he so right?
He's so right. It's just a bag. Like, it's like a soul. You're like, shut the fuck up, Ricky.
There's so much beauty. Shut up.
There was a great hardcore band out of Kansas City named Ricky Fitz after that movie. That was, shout out to those guys.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
We were all tortured artists at one time.
Still, yes, we were.
Still aren't,
still
though.
Still aren't.
We grew out of that for sure.
Ouch.
My number two is a movie from Alexander Payne. He's the director of this movie. And it's Matthew Broderick and Reese Witherspoon.
Oh.
And it's Election.
Oh.
Have you seen Election?
I believe, is that up in our vote that's going on right now? Am I right about that?
Oh,
yes,
yeah, I think
it is.
Are. Okay.
By the time you hear this, we'll have a Patreon vote. Our Patreons get to vote on upcoming movies, and Election is one of them.
All right.
And we'll know if it wins or not by then.
I should have thought about that. Anyway, Election.
It's okay, it's losing right now.
Okay, yeah, I figured it would.
Starship Troopers it's running look. Away with it.
All right. Yeah. Election's great. Election is about this teacher in high school, played by Matthew Broderick, who is kind of fed up with his life. Honestly, it's kind of a good comparison to...
American Beauty.
Yeah. What's his name?
Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey's character in American Beauty. Just kind of fed up with his life and just kind of like going through the motions. He's really not that
Lester
happy.
Lester Burnham.
Yes.
I had to get that out.
Really not that happy with his wife and everything. And then Reese Witherspoon is a student, and she's like a real like hard goody two shoe of this school. And like she raises her hand at every question any time in class or... it's particularly in this movie, she's running for class president, and Matthew Broderick is just like, fuck you. Like he doesn't like her. And so he has American Pie.
Chris Klein?
Yes. I think it's Chris Klein. He's a football player. He has him run and like kind of bolster his election chances.
He's got the most Chris Klein haircut.
Yes.
It's the most Chris Klein that his hair has ever been.
Matthew Broderick may or may not tamper with the election results.
Okay.
And so antics ensue. It's super fucking funny and super dark. It's very like grounded and very real life kind of portrait. But with these outstanding circumstances, and it's so much fun. Alexander Payne's a great director. He does a lot of these kind of dark comedies. He's kind of done like more indie movies like Nebraska with Bruce Dern. So he's kind of fallen out of that. But this movie has a lot of gravitas, and I love it. Reese Witherspoon's amazing in it.
Oh, yeah.
AJ, number two?
My number two. I was really debating on my last two here, but I'm going to go... This is probably more easily watchable than my number one, I would say, but I think number one is just one of the best movies of the year, to be completely honest. So I'm going to use my number two is Blast from the Past.
Nice.
Wow. With
Academy Award winner Brendan Fraser.
Yes.
We did it.
Fraser.
This is not the first time that this movie's been mentioned by you.
No. Like, I'm sure it's probably been mentioned before.
And Mike, especially you, and if you haven't seen it yet.
I know I've probably tried to get it onto, like, a Patreon vote. It's not time travel.
We talked about this at some point.
Yeah. So basically what happens is it's during the Cold War time.
Right.
And you have Christopher Walken and Sissy Spacek. Are a couple. They're hosting a party, and they catch word. He's basically a really big kind of conspiracy theorist, if you will, private contractor. He has built a bomb shelter that can sustain three people to last nuclear fallout for 30 years. And Sissy Spacek is pregnant, and they end up going down into this. And during that time, during this bomb scare, a jet falls on their house directly. and the house explodes. And it's the only thing that really happens. However, down below, Christopher Walken's character is convinced that nuclear war has happened. So they hit the time locks, locks them down there for 30 years, and they live life for 30 years. Now, 30 years passes. Brendan Fraser is the child who is born basically the same, almost the same day, down in this bomb shelter.
That's great.
He's 30 years old. He goes up to the surface and he goes just to get supplies and food to, so they can continue to live down there because they aren't convinced that the world is livable.
Now, so, time has stopped pretty much to them.
To them,
and they're
time
stuck
has stopped.
In like the late 60s.
Beautiful.
And it's amazing.
Entering in the 90s. Ugh.
Yeah. And ugh. They enter into the 90s, which there's been like over the course of time, there was this really, really sweet like mama's soda shop that was built over the top of it. And then it slowly dilapidates into like over time, it becomes like a bar and then like a shitty record store. And then it's just like this absolutely run down place where this guy happens to like kind of live and squat. And they come up from beneath. Oh, man, it's great. You have just the most innocent version of Brendan Fraser. It's basically Encino Man.
He's a caveman.
He's a caveman.
He got it.
He's a caveman.
He might as well be. 30 years ago?
Came up from a cave. And so, but you have the most sweet, innocent version of Brendan Fraser as this 30-year-old man who looks like he's like 22 and going up and trying to find food and supplies for his loving parents. And, Alicia Silverstone, yes. And it incredible. Can't say enough good things about this movie. It is so endearing, and the outcome of it is just as heartwarming. So, please go check this out. It is such a fun movie to watch, and I could literally sit down and rewatch it anytime.
Hell yeah!
Love All right, it.
Blast from the past.
Number one, we've reached this point. My number one is Fight Club.
Oh my
you can, gosh. No, we can't. We can't talk about
you
it.
You can talk about Fight Club.
You can now?
The 20-year clause.
Statue of Limitations.
Yeah, statue of Liberty. All right. Statue of Limitations. Do you think, if I had to ask you, IMDb ratings, these are fan ratings, you think Fight Club's top 5, top 10, top 15, top 20, top 50?
IMDb?
IMDb. Fan ratings.
Fan ratings.
Number one.
IMDb.
Number one.
I think it's number 2017.
No, it is number 12.
Jesus.
Number 12 rated movie on IMDb. This movie completely changed my perspective of on life when I saw it. I mean, like, this movie was written for me. No, think about it. I'm a 18-year-old white male, like trying to feel oppressed
they knew.
In life. Like, oh my God.
They had your faux hawk pinned.
Dude. But they were like, it's like, they're calling me out, man. I do have possessions.
Yeah.
I do have khakis. Fuck. I don't want to be that guy that you're talking about.
I did get khakis because my dad said I needed to get for a job.
He said I'm not my fucking khakis.
Do I own my khakis? Do my khakis own me?
You're right. I do have things to impress people I don't care about.
Guys, I cannot. We will. Like, I know Sean says we will. Like, we will do Fight Club. This
capital
movie.
Capital will.
Yes.
Exclamation points.
This movie's endlessly rewatchable. So many like cool, remember like, oh, like dude, if you like go slow freeze frame, you'll see Brad Pitt's characters like around him. And like it had all those cool moments that every time you went back and watched it, you noticed something different. It was one of the first movies that ever did that to me.
Oh, did you see the dick?
Oh, there's the dick, a big black cock. But here's the thing. Like I have not seen this movie in maybe like a decade. And I have some thoughts that maybe some things are not going to hold up.
No. Oh.
You don't think so? I don't know. I'm so excited. I mean, think about the quotes. Some of these quotes still, I do believe, make sense. Like, this is your life. It's ending 1 minute at a time.
Yeah.
You are the same decaying organic matter as everything else. The things you own end up owning you. I think about those, like, almost on a weekly basis. Like, I'm about ready to buy something. I'm like, fuck.
Do I want more shit?
Do I want more? We just rented a dumpster like last week and threw away.
Oh,
it's coming.
So excited for you.
It's coming. Awesome. Oh. Like I hate fuck. I still think that applies today. And Fight Club, in my mind, is a masterpiece. It may be the movie I've seen the most in my entire life.
Have you watched more David Fincher movies?
What would be other David Fincher
like
movies?
Like Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Yes.
Gone Girl.
No.
Zodiac. Yes. Not Gone yes. Girl.
Yeah. Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yeah, movies like that. I think you would like his filmography if you like yeah. this movie a lot. But yeah, I think it might hold up. We'll get to it when we get in the episode.
Will get
but like the whole mentality of Tyler Durden and everything is you can take a lot of things from that and make a positive. It's more of a negative in this movie.
Yes,
for sure. I think
agree.
That's probably what won't hold up as much.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember seeing this movie. My mom and my brother, we would just have movie nights. And we put this on pay-per-view, and
big deal.
It was a big deal. No. It was like a
it's like going to the theater.
It was when I saw Bob die, and like they yeah. like pulled the blanket off him, and like his brains fell out. I'm like, oh my God, I've never seen anything like
nope.
that.
Yeah,
it was crazy,
jarring.
And, yeah,
yeah.
But then yeah, then you watch it subsequently throughout life, and I do notice one thing every time I watch that movie. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
What's your number one, Sean?
My number one is from another great director, and it is his final movie. It is Eyes Wide Shut by Stanley Kubrick, starring Tom Cruise and
Thomas
Nicole
Cruise.
Kidman. Basically, Tom Cruise plays this doctor who is married to Nicole Kidman, who is kind of a stay-at-home mom. It's about his kind of dealing with his wife telling him that she'd had a dream about sleeping with somebody else, and then she tells him, if he were to come up to me that night, I probably would have done it and ruined everything. Like, it was that strong of an attraction, and he flips out, and so he goes on this like adventure in New York, but it's Stanley Kubrick's New York, so it's shot in like London and Baltimore, you know, it's like a made up New York. And then these women just like kind of keep coming to him, and then he meets his friend Nick Nightingale, who brings him to this pretty much sex orgy cult party, with and not Scientology. It's not that, but great casting. But like it's about his sort of endeavors in trying to deal with like his masculinity throughout this night and his worth to his wife. Where it's just like when they both got high when she said that. So it's like it's just a high thought. Like, whatever. Like, yeah, it would probably affect you, but grow the fuck up. I can't wait to talk about this movie in depth. Hopefully we cover it. But yeah, I think it's a unbelievable kind of final statement for Stanley Kubrick and his filmography. And I think that every man and woman should watch this. If you're with somebody, probably don't watch it, especially if it's early in the relationship, because it's like, oh,
would you do that?
It makes a question a little bit here and there. It's definitely about infidelity and whether you would, or like if you'd have and what you would do, but told in the Stanley Kubrick way. It's fascinating to me. I can watch it over and over again.
The Cubes.
Yep. Cubes did it again.
Cubes did it again.
Cubic's Rube.
What's your number one, AJ? Last one.
Last one.
Last one.
Make it count.
Also a prolific director. I think it was a little earlier, though, in his career.
Steve Kuzer.
Right up there with Steve Kuzer, Stephen Kubrick.
Stephen Kubrick.
Mike Judge did Office Space.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that, sirs,
yes,
is, I think, one of the greatest movies of 1999. It is the driest.
That was Mike Judge.
Like,
I forgot.
It was Mike Judge. Like, it's the driest, like, obnoxious comedy that I had ever seen, and have definitely a top five of what I've ever seen. And it still holds up, and it is incredibly rewatchable, but I just think it earns a little bit more of your attention than some of the other movies on my list. And so, but Office Space is literally, it just follows around Peter, Ron Livingston's character, Peter, and he works in a cubicle at Initech, and he files these stupid reports, and his job is very mundane, and he's just bored with it, and he basically is just tired of it, and he's convinced that his girlfriend is cheating on him, and he lives in an apartment with a guy who can hear him everything he says next door.
Stu, right? Is that his name?
Lawrence, sorry.
Lawrence, just come over. Doesn't that chick look like Anne?
Sorry, one of the best. Like, I know Milton is a fan favorite of this movie, but that is such an underrated character.
Lawrence,
that guy. Yeah,
this movie might be one of the most like quoted movies ever, without even knowing.
It's incredibly quoted, and it's so quotable. It's so relatable.
Everything's relatable, and that's the weird
honest
thing. My parents loved this movie so much, and I was like, yeah, okay, but I didn't fully understand it until I became an adult and went into corporate America. And I was like, oh my God, this is what that movie was talking about. Like, I couldn't believe it.
You just fail on up.
I think it becomes way
Lumbered
too...
Fucker.
What? It becomes almost brutally honest the moment you've spent 2 years in a job that you don't like. Like, that you honestly don't like, right? And so, it just follows Peter along after being hypnotized, the hypnotist keels over afterwards.
Way down. Deeper.
and he does. He fails his way up because these consultants come in to help the company, and they fire a bunch of people who are doing honest work. They hire, promote people who are doing terrible work.
Politics,
and it's phenomenal. It's such a great introduction, I think, to the 2000s about how life became that. I'm sure, especially out in like Silicon Valley.
And then you've got like the Applebee's, the chain restaurants,
Shooters,
you stream fajitas. Wow, hey,
you guys,
where
you
flare?
You guys want to go get a cup of coffee? It's 10:30 in the morning, Peter. I know. I got to get out of here. I'm going to kill somebody.
That's a fucking great
show. So Office Space, I think, is honestly, it's a great movie. I know it's not like an award-winning movie, but my God, the honesty behind it and then what came after from this from Mike Judge I think it started a lot of great stuff, more great stuff for him. He already did so much awesome shit, but
that kind of almost aggression or just like not caring for your job is as cathartic as like John Wick is for violence.
Yeah.
Dude.
That's a great way to describe it. It's like, it's aggressive, not caring.
Yeah.
It's aggressive, like mundane life, you know? And I love it.
Yeah. Well, we did it. We named 15 movies from 1999 that are our favorites. And of course, didn't include the ones we've already talked about.
All right.
We talked about a lot of honorable mentions.
Yeah.
And these bonus Monday episodes are only made possible by you guys, Patreon members. I mean, seriously, it's always been our dream to do the four full-blown movies a month and then also add a bonus one. So we thank you guys. We don't really read your names anymore. That's kind of a thing we don't really do. So,
oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we fucking love you.
We love you, all right?
There's so many of you. You are the best around, and we will continue to love you and put out this content.
We can at least bring that
literally
sound
for
back.
You.
I don't have it.
We can bring it back.
We'll get it back sometime.
And we also like to immortalize people on our episodes. You call our voicemail, 319-804-9596. You leave us some thoughts on the show. Here's today's caller.
Yo, what up, guys? This is Drew from Tulsa, Oklahoma. How you doing? I just got done listening to the Super Mario Brothers episode. Oh, boy, did that movie suck. Am I right? no other way to put it, but I didn't know all the backstory of how crappy the production was for that, so that was kind of a nice insight. Man, one of my other favorite podcasts is the one over the Warriors that you guys did.
Cool.
I felt like we had a nice spiritual bonding moment because you mentioned, like, the retrograde techno band The Midnight. That's actually one of my favorite bands.
Nice.
So I was just like, man, these guys are my dudes. So one kind of genre of film that I don't think you guys have hit yet is kind of like the heist films, you know, the robberies. Mm. Man, I'd love to see your opinions on or hear your opinions on like The Sting with Robert Redford and Paul Newman, or my personal favorite, nostalgia meter super high on this one, Ocean's 11.
Damn.
That's like my favorite movie ever. So anyways, hope you guys have a great, fantastic week. Keep doing what you're doing. And I'll keep listening. Take it easy. Bye.
Drew, you got some good taste, my man.
Yeah.
I watch Ocean's 11 probably every summer. I just go through the gambit
comfort
of them.
Comfort movie, dude.
It 100%. Is so good and a masterpiece. Yeah, I definitely agree with you.
I also listened to In the City like five times in a row yesterday because I think about the Warriors from like time to time and I just go, that ending's so good.
I've been listening to a lot of Joe Walsh.
Yes.
Yeah. Huh. I might be able to post it up in our Patreon now, in our Discord. But I did a recut of the like kind of the Warriors theme, and I put it to the Midnight's like a Midnight song.
Yes. Oh, okay.
And so maybe I can post that. In
oh,
Discord
so you did
now.
The ending of the Warriors to a Midnight song, or is...
yeah,
oh,
like, okay. Like I did like this like supercut of like what the trailer was at the time.
Ah,
and so
yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'm gonna put this to some music from the Midnight, and I'll see if I can post it up in Discord.
Do yeah, dude,
absolutely, my guy.
Well, we will see you guys coming up soon, I believe. May of May Engaged, I believe, starts in 2 days.
Come on, you guys.
Daddy.
That is all Michael Bay, all Nick Cage.
All the time.
All the time. So
two Nick Cage, two Michael Bay, and then the combined.
And then the combined movement.
You're locked into a 30-day free ride of nonstop Bay of Cage. K of Beige.
Cage.
K of Cage on Beige.
Cage Bay.
Goodbye.
Bye. I love you.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.